Welcome to the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast. I'm Chad Edgington.
I'm Melissa Edgington.
We're back.
Yippee!
All right, so here we're going to jump into a podcast today that's all about marriage.
All about marriage, because our wedding anniversary is this week.
No, it's not.
Did you know that? Sunday.
May 27th.
You're joking.
Kill me.
Our anniversary is Sunday. I remember when we were planning the wedding date, and my mother said, do not get married on May 22nd because you will have children and they will have activities at the end of school and you'll never get to do anything for your anniversary.
She was right.
And I rolled my eyes, and she was so right.
Yeah, she was right.
We never go anywhere.
No.
For our anniversary.
No, but we still have good anniversaries.
Yeah, we do.
I think they're good.
I do too.
We're planning a little getaway. A little couples getaway. This chair is making a lot of noise.
It is. It's
squeaky. Have to deal with it. All right, I should have gotten the chair from the kitchen like I normally do. But too late now. I'm just going to sit really still.
Good luck with that.
Okay. So now what's the format you were thinking here on how to talk about marriage?
Well, I thought since this week is all about marriage, I thought it would be fun if we kind of interview each other.
Okay. So are we going to take turns reading questions?
We'll take to turns one asking questions.
Okay. That's what I meant.
I haven't.
Just going to read them.
I haven't seen your questions.
So I haven't seen yours either.
I don't know if I have answers.
All right. And if I don't have an answer, I'm not going to answer. You know, I don't want
to. This is going to be a really bad podcast.
Yeah. Par for the course. All right. So you want to go first or you go first?
Okay. I'll go first. What is one thing? Wait, should we talk about? Hold on. Should we talk about how long we've been married?
We've been married for 17 years on Sunday.
17 years.
On Sunday. That's a long time.
That makes us seem really old.
Yeah. I feel really old. When I get a haircut, I feel really old because it's like all this gray hair, you know. Falling onto the black thing she puts around me.
I don't know what cape. That's like.
Yeah, you don't have gray hair yet?
No.
It's brutal. And I just feel really old. It's like I get the sides of my head cut so short so it doesn't look like it's so gray.
But men look distinguished with gray hair.
Or old.
Or distinguished and...
old.
Mature.
Mature. Yeah, that's me. So I'm just trying to hang on to the youth, shave the sides.
It looks good.
A buzz. All right, so 17 years, we got married in a fever, hotter than a, what is that, we got married in a fever,
hotter than a
something.
Hotter than a, hey, speaking of hotter, there was a fire at our wedding. That's always an interesting.
That's true. We got married in a fire.
Talk about. Yeah.
So Melissa and her mom had all these candles in fake greenery.
First of all, we were way ahead of our time on the decor for the wedding.
Okay.
I mean, we were already into like the cool candles everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for rusty stuff to use in the wedding, which it did not exist then because that wasn't cool yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we made, you know, we crafted the whole wedding because it was very low budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we made these little
baskets,
planters with fake greenery, which sounds terrible, but it really was pretty.
It looked good. But they put this one right underneath where the air conditioner was blowing onto the candles.
We weren't counting on that element.
Didn't think about that.
And so the candles burned down really quickly. So by the time I was walking down the aisle, you can see in our very terrible wedding pictures, which that's a whole other story, that... the fire was already raging at the front as I was walking down the aisle.
They were already burning?
Yeah, you can see it in the pictures.
Oh, my gosh. So my uncle just, you know, cool as a cucumber, just walks up there, grabs the fire, grabs the basket on the flaming basket, walks out the choir door, and then comes around the other side and grabs another one that was about to catch on fire and goes and puts them out.
He went outside and stomped them or something.
Yeah, stomped them out.
On the churchyard.
And Melissa didn't even know it had happened.
I did not even know of the fire until afterwards.
But I didn't hear anything the preacher said because I thought, this place is about to go up in flames. The whole wedding, I was thinking, something's going to catch on fire.
But it didn't.
But it didn't.
Well, it did, but...
Yeah, it was over. Yeah. Thanks to Uncle Johnny. Put out the fire.
Yeah.
Thank
quick,
you.
Quick thinking.
All right. So that's the story of our... Then 17 years later, we're sitting here with a podcast, three kids. You like this new board I got here? It's pine.
I love it. And it's not a soundboard. It's an actual board.
Yeah, it's a board. I mean, it's like a piece of pine. But I put this here because we've been podcasting where we've been looking at a screen. And then I thought this would be a lot better if we could gaze into one another's eyes on our anniversary edition.
And it's so podcast. Much better.
You think it's better?
Yeah, I like it.
You like it? Okay. I can't decide. I don't know what's
going on. You're on the fence?
Well, I'm in this chair where I can't move, so I feel like...
Do you want to go get another
chair?
No,
I'm cool. I'm cool.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm cool.
I don't want you to be worried about the chair.
I'm not going to worry about it. If it makes noise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just...
And I can't hear very well. Can you turn my headphone up a little bit?
Okay.
All right. This may take 20 years. Let's see. Is that it or is that yours?
That's mine. Mine got a lot louder.
Yeah, well, turn mine up.
All is right. That better?
That's better. Okay. A little more comfortable. All right. Because I couldn't reach it myself because of this
board.
Giant pine board.
Yes.
That's in front of us.
But
here.
I like the way you didn't go with just...
Plywood?
This is better than plywood.
Oh, yeah. This is what they make cabinets out of.
Yeah.
But it could give you a splinter, so be careful.
All right. Thanks.
All right. First question.
You're always looking out for me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. So what is one thing that has surprised you about marriage?
What is one thing that has surprised me about marriage? I mean, these really would require thought. And I'm going to say something so stupid right now.
You've stood up in court and talked. I think
All
you
right,
can
say
handle
it. Again, say okay. it again. What is one
what
thing?
What is one thing that has surprised you about marriage?
Okay. So maybe something I never thought of as a child or before marriage that surprised me. I think, what has surprised me about marriage?
This is going to be awful. Come on, you can
All right,
do it.
What is surprise? Well, I think how much I like being married. I mean, you know.
Oh, you didn't think you would like it?
Well, no. I thought it would be great, but I guess I was surprised how, well, for me, I know I have good friends. I even have best friends. And, you know, I know you're not supposed to say your wife is your best friend because that puts you in another category, or you should be in another category. But I just think it's, I was maybe surprised at how much fun it is to have someone that you really like to hang out with all the time and how you never get tired of each other.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Almost never.
But you get tired of me?
No, you get tired of me.
No. That's not true. I'm always thinking, I wish Melissa was here instead. And I know we're going to go on the retreat. We're going to go to a men's retreat this week and we'll be separated for one night and it will be painful. That really does surprise me because you just get so attached. And then the other side of that's kind of sad though, is that whenever, you know, kind of walking people as a pastor, walking people through grief and through the loss of a spouse, is they'll say, well, that first night when you realize you're never going to sleep in the same bed with them, you're never going to, it's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a wonderful thing that the reason it hurts so much when it's over is because it's so great whenever you're married.
Yeah.
You know, did I answer that one okay?
Yeah, that was good.
Okay. Let me try your question. You ready?
Okay.
How do you like your eggs?
Is that really your question? Do you know how I like my eggs? That's a better question.
Fried. A little runny.
I do like them fried.
And you turn them over.
I like them scrambled. I like them basically always. Okay. I like them boiled.
Well, that was easy. Let me give you another one. Ready? What is your favorite cartoon?
Are these really your questions?
Just go with it.
My favorite cartoon. would have to be The Backyardigans.
No, oh, that was a good one.
I love that show.
We are the movers of Arabia.
Yeah,
that was a classic.
That was a great show.
And it doesn't come on anymore. So no. Emerald has never seen it.
You can get it on Netflix, yeah. But we don't have Netflix.
Okay. All right. This is a more serious question for you here, Melissa. What is your personal mission statement?
These are supposed to be about marriage.
All right. Well, I thought it was a good one, though. Do you have a personal mission statement?
I guess I need to write one. I don't have that in my back pocket right now.
Yeah. So I thought that would be funny.
Basically, it's not to trip when I'm walking.
Yeah. So far, so good about half the time. Okay. Here's the real
question. I fell today in the garage.
You did?
And I fell up against the door, and I was hoping you didn't hear the thud.
When was that?
When you came home for lunch.
You fell up against the door?
Yeah, I was out in the garage, and I missed that step.
I didn't hear that. Everybody falls now and then. Okay, so here's a serious question. Why do you think it's so hard for men and women to communicate about important things?
Okay. Well, I actually wrote a blog post about this kind of this week.
Okay.
And I think part of it is that men and women's brains work very differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that it really is possible for you to ask a man, Penny, for your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking about right now? And for him to actually say nothing.
Nothing really, yeah.
And mean it. Or I'm thinking about this play I saw in the baseball game or whatever.
Yeah. We've talked about that before, how like you've clued me in on this, how we were talking about how Sunday school for some people is a stressful thing, or we were talking about the difference between men and women walking into a Sunday school class.
Mm-hmm.
And how when a woman walks into the Sunday school class, she sees all these people, all these social dynamics. No one's talking to this person over here. This person's mad at this person. And there's a hundred different things going on in the woman's mind when she walks into Sunday school. And then the guy walks into Sunday school and he's like, oh, where are the donuts? That's the only thing on his mind.
But I don't want it to seem like that I'm saying that men are empty-headed or anything like that. I just think that there truly is. I mean, in most relationships, I think there's a great divide between how deeply that women feel things, mm-hmm. as opposed to how men do.
Yeah. And men can feel really, they can feel very deeply about something, but they can also turn that off, I think, where they're just kind of, you know, they're going to, it's not every opportunity is not a moment to just be all the feels, right? It's just kind of like, hey, where are the donuts?
Right.
Did you hear the chair again? It's not making it's really bothering.
It.
Okay.
But I wouldn't have noticed that if you hadn't
all
said
right,
that.
All right. I'm trying not to move.
I would say, you know, probably the biggest communication issue between men and women would boil down to just expectations. Because as women, or I should just speak for myself, I guess. I don't want to generalize.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that women, we tend to expect things to happen in a certain way, or we picture things happening a certain way. And then when they don't, we're mad or we're disappointed whenever
no one could read
the
your
husband
mind.
Had yep. no clue that you expected okay. it to wind
so,
up that way.
So I guess going back to my question that you haven't answered is, why is it so hard?
I've answered around the question. Yeah.
Why is it hard to communicate? Why is it hard to communicate the expectations? Why do we not tell one another what we like or don't like or want to happen?
I think that for me, and maybe for a lot of women, it's important to not have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you know me, then you will know yeah. that this is what I want.
What about the idea of maybe there's something sort of, like, embarrassing about talking about certain things?
For men?
I think so. Do women not feel that way? Like, men don't want to talk. They feel, like, can feel ashamed really easy about talking about something, I don't know, that's meaningful.
Because they feel like that they're being criticized?
No, I don't know. I don't know that it's you feel like you're being criticized. Maybe the man feels like he should be doing those things already. So maybe he is sort of being critical of himself, and to bring it up like, hey, I think I need to lead our family in worship more. I think I need to be a better example. I think the way I've been, you know, it's almost like coming to repent. The man, if he feels like there's something he needs to communicate, he wants to do the right thing, but it's hard for him to say, hey, I want us to start doing the right thing in our marriage, because it means that he's been doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
And so like they're saying, hey, well, if we don't talk about it, maybe we can just kind of work around it and arrive at the place where we want to be without ever talking about things that we've done wrong, things we wish we had done differently. Maybe if you never acknowledge those things, you know, they keep getting pushed further and further back or kicked further and further down the road, and you just never want to deal with them. Mm-hmm. So you don't talk about things that are important.
But do you think that men also have the tendency to believe that as far as they know, everything's fine?
Yeah, I think there's, Well, I think it's sort of
no news is good news.
That's denial, though.
Yeah.
I think they know something's wrong, but they think, well, she's fine putting up with it. Well, I think most women are not. I think they really do long, like they think about things more than men are thinking about them, about the way things could be. And a lot of times it's a guy that's not, you know, we just don't do what we're supposed to do. We're just lazy and we're selfish. I hate to really be too hard on men in general, but I do think maybe one of the reasons it's so hard to communicate is because people, you know, you get defensive so easily.
Yeah.
Guys are really good at getting defensive. Like, when you tell him he's not doing something, he's going to run out of this how I am. Once you're confronted with the fact that you're kind of doing something wrong, you think of 10 things you're doing right. And how can you expect this one thing of me when I'm doing all these things?
But that's not just a men thing. That's a human being thing. Yeah. Women do that terrible too.
So, okay, that was my question. You got another one?
Yes. So, this kind of goes well with what you just asked. So, in all your years of marriage, what would you say is the best strategy or advice that you've heard on communicating in marriage?
Okay. I mean, the best advice that anyone ever gives on that is don't ever go to bed mad, right?
But, you know, I just recently saw a discussion online where people were saying the opposite of that.
Well, that's stupid.
Well,
why would
how
you
do
go
you
to
know?
Bed mad? Why would? Well, I've tried it both ways. I could definitely tell you it's better if you don't go to bed mad, because it just the next day, you know, you're still... Well, I mean, maybe if I'm mad and you don't know it, maybe then you go to bed.
I think it's, maybe it depends on the personality of the couple.
Yeah, that's true. But I would say that was great advice. I don't even know where I heard that. I probably heard that years before I got married. It said, don't go to bed angry. I think that was great advice. Ideas like we were speaking about there about communicating your expectations, keeping the lines of communication open, the way that you communicate. So when a couple comes into my, we kind of incorporate both of those if you come to me for counseling, is I'll give you each a pad and I'll say, what do you want to talk about? And in the silence there for a few moments when people are writing down what they want to talk about, that's a chance for them to express what they're expecting to get out of the counseling session. So we know, you know, and what's crazy is even whenever they have a chance to write down what they want to talk about, people still don't write down what they really want to talk about. They come into my office a week later and say, hey, I really wished I'd have written this down. For whatever reason, like I'm asking the question, it's so hard to communicate. So we talk about communicating the expectations. Then when we talk about actual communication, when there's a problem, was it called Bacon Heights or... Was that what the name of that church was? It was a church in Lubbock. We went to that.
Right.
I think it was Bacon Heights in Lubbock. They had a marriage retreat. And I did not want to go. And Shannon Goss and his wife invited us to go. And, you know, and I was like, well, he's inviting me to go to church. And it's crazy. It's true. Whenever someone invites you to church, you usually go. So we went. Remember we ate at United before we went. We went over there. And I thought I had a bad attitude, you know, for a decade. But I was in that bad attitude decade. And this married couple got up there. And I don't know. At first, I thought they were silly. And I thought, I'm never going to learn anything from these people. And then they just started dropping the truth on us and just one after another kind of teaching me what a rotten scoundrel of a husband I was and how I wasn't really expressing myself correctly and I wasn't really loving you the right way. And they were bringing biblical truth. And the thing that I remember they taught that we laughed at for years, but it's the way we've talked. Is they talked about that reflective listening where you say, what I hear you saying is this. When you said this, it made me feel this way, and really taught us to communicate that way without accusing. I think that was kind of under the how to fight fair mm-hmm. kind of rules.
It was.
Without, you know, how do you communicate without without you know, making generalizations, without saying you always do this, you never do this, but specifically getting right down to the kind of the nitty gritty of whatever it was that was bothering you and saying, when this happened, I felt this way. And even though you didn't maybe mean to make me feel that way, this is how I felt. And I think that really has been revolutionary in our communication, don't you think?
I think it's really important because when you are communicating in those ways where you say those specific phrases, even though it feels silly.
It feels ridiculous.
It really takes the element of you assuming the motive of the other person mm-hmm. out of it.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing because I think we all have a tendency at times to assume the worst motive mm-hmm. behind some action that hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, if we just communicate about it, then we learn that wasn't at all what the intention was behind it.
Yeah. That's good. So that was the best advice. What's the best advice you ever heard?
I was thinking the same thing, reflective listening.
Reflective listening. Yeah that's good. And when people even come to my office and sit there, I think, I don't know. I really do trust the Spirit to lead in that marriage counseling. And sometimes I'm amazed at things that I'm saying. Not that I don't know where they came from, but I'm always amazed that there's something that I feel is helpful, that one will say something and the other will say something and some thought will come to my mind. But I always try to teach them that reflective listening so I feel like they could walk away with something useful.
And the other thing about that is that's a good tool in parenting too, in teaching your kids how to communicate.
It's a good tool in pastoring.
I often say to the kids, nobody always or never does something.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and you can apply all that to any conflict. And I'll sit there, no matter what the conflict is, and you know, with two people that are having a problem, I'll just sit there and do the reflective listening for them. Okay, Melissa, when you heard so and so say that, how does that make you feel when you hear
right.
that? And for them to, I say, she can't help the way she feels, you know, and could have walked them through that. So that's a good tool if you want to learn that. I guess you can look it up. Or
which, by the way, isn't that so weird to do marriage counseling?
It's weird.
It's so weird. It's We've weird when we together. Sit in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really feel inadequate.
Yeah. Well, it's like what you were saying on your blog. It's easy to write things in a certain way and kind of sound authoritative about something you're not very good at. Is that what you were trying to get across the other day?
On which thing?
I don't remember what it was. You said it's just easy to write about things as though you're really good at doing them.
Oh, wait, that was a conversation you and I had.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Because I was saying that I had read an article about written by a pastor who had had an affair while he mm-hmm. was pastoring. And as he was trying to explain to people how he could get up there and preach every week while that was going on. And he even preached a marriage series during his affair.
Yeah.
And he said, the reason that I did that is because I was preaching to myself. I was saying the things I knew I needed to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was just saying that it's kind of similar in blogging a lot of times. Yeah. Whenever you're writing something, you're preaching to yourself.
Yeah, and I think when you're marriage counseling, you're counseling yourself too.
Yeah.
You're seeing sort of your own problems reflected through the couple that you're counseling. And I'll say that myself. I'll say, well, I'm not just getting on to you about this. This is something we all need to improve.
So. Right.
Well, let me ask you another question. How can a man make his wife more secure in their relationship?
The answer to that would probably be different for different women. For me, the answer is really easy, and that is just...
say nice things.
Words. Yeah. I gotta have words.
Need words.
But, I mean, different people...
It's only words.
You know, we've...
words are all I have.
Are you being the Bee Gees?
Yeah.
That's really good. That was good, right? I could totally tell. So we should talk about the love languages. It seems like everybody in America would have already heard of that by now, but the love languages are a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how. Is it Gary Chapman?
Mm-hmm. That's a brilliant idea.
I don't know how he even came up with that, but it is true. It is the real deal. Yeah. So you can go online and take an inventory to find out what your love languages are. And sometimes it's easy to figure out because you tend to communicate in your love language. Mm-hmm. Thus, I have a blog and I write a bunch of words all the time.
Right.
But, you know, for some people, Chad's is acts of service.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the way Chad shows he loves me is he washes my car for me. He mows the yard. He cleans the toilet, you know, which I really appreciate all that.
Not as much as I do.
But he's also kind of doing that for himself because he loves cleanliness.
Somebody's got to do it.
My car is not, it's not ever
your car's,
very clean.
Your but car's have, clean right
I've
now.
I've got three children.
I know, but, you know, they just got to learn to take care of their stuff.
We're trying to do better.
Yeah.
Tonight I told Adelaide to get her stuff out, and I named each thing.
That's what I did.
Get that backpack. Get that,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, it just really annoys me whenever Daddy points out everything for me to pick up.
I did it yesterday.
She said, it makes the job seem so much worse.
Yesterday, we all were gone, and we went into the living room. And three times I walked in there and asked them, pick all y'all stuff off a living room floor. Take it where it goes. And I'm going to vacuum our bedroom, I don't remember exactly what I was doing, but I was working in another room. And I'd gotten them all pumped up about y'all coming home and finding the house clean, you know.
Yeah.
So that we could communicate through my love language to you how much we loved you. And, and so I walked in there the third time and I said, okay, do y'all see these sort of like these wooden laminate pieces on the floor? That's called the floor. And do you see the sock on the floor? And I named off everything and you could just tell them. You know, you could just feel their eyes rolling as their father exasperated them. You know, do not exasperate your children. Don't provoke them to anger, whatever it says. But
But you can really see, can't you, how a couple can be like two ships passing in the night, yeah, on that communicating, because
yeah,
we tend to speak the language that we want to receive.
Yeah.
And so the way that we're speaking is not the way that really speaks to our spouse.
Yeah, it's kind of a...
So, you know, I can write 50, you know, mushy blog posts about how fab you are, which I've noticed you share all the ones.
Any blog post that makes me look good...
You share them all.
And you always make me look good in them. I don't even deserve it. So, thank you.
Well, so...
I mean, I like those.
But wouldn't you rather... come home and find
a clean
that
house. Yeah.
I have scoured the house, but mm-hmm, instead I'm sitting there writing all these nice words.
Yeah. Thanks.
I don't
yeah
know. It's a real problem.
Yeah.
But that's part of, you know, that's the brilliance of the love languages is that's part of the sacrifice and the way that you you know, lay yourself down to love your spouse mm-hmm. is you lay aside the things that come easy to you. Because I could write you 50 love notes every day. That would be so easy.
And I would appreciate it.
But, you know, mopping the floor is a little bit more complicated.
You don't like doing that, do you?
I don't enjoy that at all.
I like to mop. I love the Swiffer.
The Swiffer's not... Well, golly. It smells so good.
Yeah, the Swiffer with little Dawn.
It's kind of a huge impact thing.
I love it. That was a great invention.
That's why I like to load the dishwasher. Because it makes a big impact.
Right.
I hate unloading it.
I've noticed that.
No impact at all.
It just slowly gets emptied out until it's time to put them back in there. So if they go from the dishwasher to being used into the sink.
Hey, just think about that first night whenever I'm a goner and you're thinking, if only Melissa were here to not empty the dishwasher.
Yeah, it'll feel like you miss that. Hey, there'll be a full dishwasher the first night you're not here. And it will feel just like you're still there.
Won't that be sweet?
Yeah, I'll just leave it full.
That will be so precious.
That'll be precious to the world.
It will.
To the USA. All right, well, we've really got to probably wrap it up here. Did you have any more questions? You don't have any more?
Yeah, I have more, but I mean, I don't want to be... What? Have we been talking for 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's too long. I know.
Oh, gosh.
Well, give me one more.
Okay, what's the number one piece of advice you would give to a man who's about to get married?
Man, that is a hard one. I would say, you go back through and maybe you could talk to other people about, say, hey, what are some things you regret not doing earlier, you know, in your marriage? I would say, the number one advice I would give to a guy is, I would say, it's kind of like negative advice. Don't marry her if you can picture yourself or you can picture her being married to somebody else and it's okay. You know, mm-hmm. I think some people, they think, oh, this person will do. I really don't think you should feel that way. You should probably think, because that's like the way I figured that you were the one, is because there were other girls that I thought, oh yeah, I could marry that girl, or that girl would make a good wife. She seems like a decent piano player. Whatever it was, the criteria I was using, which were wacky criteria. But I was always impressed with the piano playing girls. So I thought, that shows that they've got a lot of something: tenacity, determination, wealthy parents that can afford lessons. And you can play the piano. It's just you don't practice.
I can sort of play.
Sort of play. But anyway, I would say there could be girls like that I noticed in college or was attracted to and could say, oh, that girl would make a good wife. But I could see how they could make a good wife for somebody else. But with you, my love. I'm serious. I really thought if she married somebody else, it would just rip my heart out. Like I would have to show up at the wedding and it would be like a one of those chick flicks.
That would be so cool.
Chick flack. And there's like, if there's anybody here who knows of a reason why these two should not be joined in holy matrimony, speak now or forever hold your peace.
So you would run in the back door of the church with your hippie long hair.
I could not have held my peace. I would have to say, she's marrying the wrong guy. I'm your Romeo, baby. And then we would run outside and get on a bus. I was thinking like, get on my bicycle. And I would give you a pump while we rode off into the sunset. Oh, well, you're thinking I'd like had a great, no, probably, the romance. In the movie, I would have been on a bus, right? And I could have convinced everyone on the bus that we need to go back, turn back around. Right. And go to this little chapel where you were about to marry a guy that was going to be a stockbroker or something, and you'd have lived a terrible life of luxury. You know, you would have had everything you wanted. And I'm like, no.
That sounds miserable.
You need to marry me and live a lifetime of driving old used cars. Where the paint's peeling off the hood. Stow and go. But that's... That's probably my advice. I would say don't make, you know, that would be a way to make sure that it's the one.
Yeah, because it's really surprising to me how many younger guys come to you and they say, how do I know?
I know.
If she's the one.
And that's what I tell them every time. I don't know if it helps. And they're also like, and how important is being attracted to the girl? And I'm like, if you don't want to have sex with her, do not marry her. But, you know, I don't know that I have other good advice, because I don't know that it, you know, I would say first thing is you need to trust God in your marriage, and you need to truly, in your marriage, be devoted to Him in such a way that, you know, you're going to follow His word before you're going to follow your heart. And I think that's probably the best advice, because once a guy decides he's going to do whatever he wants, or a woman decides she's going to do whatever she wants in a marriage, whether that means we'll just walk out, I'm not going to listen, I'm not going to try, it's over. Mm-hmm. And we have plenty of people that we've known. I mean, and we're, you know, raised up in Christendom and Christian culture and new people, and have, you know, our closest friends that have even gotten divorces were in that same culture. And you know, it's just that it's come some point in a marriage where it's like, no, I don't, you know, I don't care how hard it is, or I don't care how right God's word is. This is too hard. Mm-hmm. And it's too hard for us to stay together. And, you know, so I think that ultimate commitment to, we're going to do this God's way. Now, I say that, of course, if there's abuse or, if there's infidelity, I mean, there are circumstances more complicated than just saying that. But notwithstanding those reasons, you've got to be committed to the marriage, and saying, hey, once Brother Scott, our pastor in Waite Village, used to say, people would say, well, I just don't think it was God's will for me to marry this woman. That would be their, you know, their response. And he would say, well, once you said I do, it became God's will. Now, I don't know about the theology of that, but practically speaking, that's good advice.
Yeah.
Is you've got to have a never say die attitude, because it's too easy to quit.
Yeah.
And we live in a culture where they'll just say, oh, yeah, you know, do whatever's going to make you happy, you know. And I ultimately, marriage is not about your happiness. So I could probably go on and on about advice. None of it's very profound or good, but that's probably the advice I'd give a guy, is make sure it's the one, and then make sure you're committed. And then I guess over the years what I've learned is really you've got to make the woman feel secure. You do have to try to speak her love language. And I'm like the pastor we're talking about. It's easier to say that stuff than to do it. But I think that's how it is for everybody. It's always easier to talk about it than to do it. And one of the ways that you just stay committed to the marriage, you just, you know, try to stay steady and try to just, you know, do what you can and stick with it and be committed. And over the long haul, over 17 years, you know, you wind up with a great marriage, don't you think?
I agree.
Aren't you happy?
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, have a great anniversary Sunday. Well, as I preach on Sunday morning, and then
I'll be working in the nursery.
And then I'll scramble to get my Sunday night sermon together after we sing in the ensemble. Yeah, so it'll be great. Well, let me ask you one last question then, and we'll close out our podcast. What or who, I guess we can say who. Who's your favorite Muppet? I think they're going to have the Muppet Show make a comeback. Have you heard of that?
Oh, well, I think that's already happened.
Really?
Yeah, you missed it.
I missed it. Well, I saw the Muppet movie. There. Am I a Muppet of a Man? Remember that song?
Yeah, it was really good. I like that movie.
Great movie.
Probably my favorite Muppet would be
Scooter.
The chef. The chef, of course.
Which one's that? Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked those giant Muppets. You know, they were so scary.
Yeah.
Like the human sized Muppets that would run around. Yeah. They were bigger than humans even.
Yeah.
That one with the big nose and the looked like a like some kind of a Boggy Creek Monster or something.
Your questions are so deep. I just...
Well...
It really is. It, it has blown me away in the truest sense of the word. Yeah,
I can't help it. I'm just, you know, I'm deep that way.
I'm so deep. You're so deep.
I've really always wanted to be deep, and I just could never do it, you know? Like, I wanted to be really moody in college and
act like
I was such a tortured artist.
You were so moody.
No.
You were.
No, I mean, I was watching The Muppet Show, just to be honest with you. Scott Jeffries and I were watching The Muppet Show while I was pretending that I was a poet. I'm not a poet. I like to go to Whataburger. I'm not a poet.
Poets like Whataburger.
No. No, they don't. They like going to coffee shops.
What a burger.
Whataburger.
That's what the kids call it.
Hey, take me to Whataburger, Daddy. And they love it so much.
Well, a lot of people listening to this do not even have Whataburger.
They don't have Whataburger.
So I don't want to rub it in. Yeah.
Sorry, y'all don't get to have that.
It's good.
Well, now we've been talking for 40 minutes, so we really need to wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening to our marriage questions and answers. I enjoyed Melissa's questions. I wish I should have read them beforehand so I'd have been a little more prepared. But
you're deep. You're so deep.
Yeah, I could have pretended like I was deep, but really I just wanted to talk about Muppets and eggs. So thank you all for listening. Melissa, do you have any parting words of encouragement, advice, anything uplifting that people could use to restore their souls?
I would just say that if you're going through a rough time in your marriage, just hang in there. Keep going. Don't quit.
Yeah.
God wants to bless your marriage.
It will get better. We talked about that just even this past week where I was encouraging a fella and saying, hey, don't give up. Don't quit. And Melissa was reminding me how hard it was when we were first married. And yet, you know, it's been so long now, I don't even remember it. So stick with it. Time will help on that. And if you need advice from me on Muppets or anything like that, just give us an email. Or if you need some actually sound marital advice, you can email us and we'll try to help you. And you can find the contact information there at yourmomhasablog.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks for listening, y'all.